Father, thank you for your word. Lord, as we open it now, we open it together. We ask you, Lord, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May he confirm in our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord, the word of God, that it might be there. And Lord, in time of need, when we are confronted with people in the world today that need to know how to be saved. God, use your word now. Teach us from it, Lord. May your spirit be our teacher. And God, may you be honored in all we say today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, who also he named apostles. We see here the Lord Jesus, as he's in prayer, talking to his Father, trying to get direction from his Father, trusting his Father for direction. He prays all night, seeking God's will. Then we find also that after that he was given clearance, if you please, to trust 12 friends, 12 disciples to become apostles. He called them, he chose them, he commissioned them, he trained them to be apostles after he went back to heaven. Jesus did. From Pentecost right on until the last apostle died, there was the apostolic age we know of, which they were able to heal people. They were able to do many miracles and signs because God gave them power to do that. So we looked last week at Andrew and see what God and how God used him. Again, the man behind the scenes was Andrew. Now today we're looking at another one. Another apostle today we're going to look at, and his name is Peter. His name is Peter. Now, all of us make a lot of jokes and things about Peter. But Peter was a man that loved the Lord. He really did. He loved the Lord. And we're going to look at Peter as, we're going to call him the man who failed but rose again. The man who failed but rose again. That was Peter. We know that he was a fisherman. He was a big fisherman. That was his career. That was his life, to fish. That was his living, if you please. He was a great fisherman. He was of Bethsaida. And we know the name of that means the house of fish. How many of you like fish? I love fish. I really do. I could eat my weight in fish every day. But I love fish. And Peter, he loved fish, no doubt. But no, he was of this place called Bethsaida. He was raised, or he resided, if you please, in Capernaum. That's where Jesus went many times on his Galilean ministry there. He lodged there quite a bit in Capernaum. And we see also that Peter first met Christ at Bethany, beyond Jordan, where John the Baptist was ministering at. That's where he met Jesus first of all. We know both Peter and Andrew were disciples of John the Baptist. Both of them followed John the Baptist. Peter received a triple call, if you please, as a friend, also as a disciple, and also as an apostle from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see that because of his being around Jesus, seeing his works, seeing all that he did, hearing what he said, this helped build Peter's character. He was strengthened, if you please, and he was deepened to love the Lord Jesus Christ because of being around Jesus and seeing his ministering, all that he did. I can't imagine. I try to imagine sometimes just walking with Jesus every day, physically, and seeing what he does and hearing what he says and all this. And, you know, you have to no doubt but love him because of what he was doing for people. You know, and I'm just thankful today to know that we don't have him physically, but we do have his word. And the more we love his word, the more we're going to love him. I really believe that with all my heart. You can't love the word of God without loving Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. You can't. But I thank God for this. We notice also that Peter was naturally impulsive. He responded fast. He responded fast from anyone that had anything to say. He was naturally that way. He also was tenderhearted, and he was very affectionate. Peter was at times tenderhearted and very affectionate in his life. He was gifted with spiritual insight that God gave him. Peter was wise. He was wise because God made him that way. He gave him insight in his life. Sometimes he was kind of slow to apprehend the truth, but sooner or later it did come around. It did come around in the life of Peter. We also see that he was very courageous to confess his faith in Christ. But on the other hand, he was the only one that denied Christ. He was the only one that denied Christ of the disciples in the Word of God. He was self-sacrificing, yet inclined towards self-seeking many times in his life. Peter was. He was immovable, though, in his conviction. What he believed, he stood upon. What he believed, he was firm about it. He was not going to let anybody shake him from what he believed. Peter was. That's the kind of man he was. He became a leader, of course, a spokesman for the apostles. He was always a spokesman for all the other apostles, Peter was. And we see that he was one of the three also that witnessed the transfiguration of Christ and also the agony of Christ in the garden. Peter was one of those also. We also see that he himself was a miracle worker in the book of Acts. By God's help, not himself, but he was a miracle worker in the book of Acts because of many things that he did for the Lord. And we see that he made a confession of Christ's deity, acknowledging him as, he became the foundation of the church, acknowledging that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He also miserably failed the Lord in an hour of crisis in his life. And again, he denied Christ. But yet after the resurrection of Christ, he was restored by him. And we see he was recommissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle. So we see just a few things about Peter as we look at this today. Now, this morning I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. As we look at Peter and his life and things that God used him, the man who failed but rose again. The man who failed but rose again. You know, I'm so glad for 1 John 1:9, aren't you? I'm so glad that whenever I fail in my flesh, I know that God will forgive me if I'll ask Him to. He'll cleanse me and He'll make things right. I'm so glad that, you know, I have failed many times in my life, but the Lord has rose me, helped me to rise again, so to speak, spiritually, and to be maybe better what ought to be. So again, we see here some great things about the Apostle Simon Peter as we look at him this morning. First of all, his name always appears as first when naming the disciples. He's always first. His name is. He always stands out as a spokesman for all the 12. Always stands out. We find in Matthew 18:21, he asked the question to Jesus, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" He's always asking questions. He's an outspoken person. He asked about the fig tree. When it withered away, he asked Jesus about that. And we see, preaching at Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved because of him preaching. God mightily used Peter. He was a man who failed. He failed, but rose again. He failed, but rose again. Let's look at his life. We know he was married. In Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 31, we find his wife's mother was sick, and he healed her. She got raised up, and we know that he was a married man. Peter was. We also see that his name was changed, Simon, meaning hearing, to Peter, meaning the rock. Now, we're going to look at three things about Peter this morning. First of all, we're going to look at Peter believing. Peter believing. Second, we're looking at Peter as he not only believed, but also he backslid. Peter backsliding. And then we're going to see as Peter believing anew. So three things about Peter. First of all, his believing. Then his backsliding. And then his becoming anew. He become anew. The man who failed, but rose again. Peter, who we're talking about today. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, let's look at some verses here. Beginning with verse number 13. Matthew 16 and verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And notice the first question. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he asked them this question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now notice their answer. Their answer in verse number 14. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So he asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They gave their answer. Okay, this is the first question. This is the first response here. But notice also the second question asked. The second question asked is this in verse number 15. He says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? First of all, who do the people say that I am? And now he says, but who do you, disciples, who do you say that I am? And notice the answer was from who? Peter, Simon Peter. Verse 16, what did he say? This is his believing, this is his confession, if you please, of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. He's telling people who he is. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My, what an answer. Can't give a better answer than that, can you? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we see here that Peter gave the answer here. And we find also in verse number 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He says in verse 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My, what a thing to say. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, God is going to give Peter the opportunity to preach to people that have never been preached to, the Jews, and present the gospel because of this confession, because of Peter believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this here in this passage. Now, we see here that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Peter confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, did he not? He did. Now, let me say to you, who you or I believe Jesus is makes the difference between heaven and hell. Who you and I believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is makes the difference between heaven and hell in our life. Because he is the only way to heaven, isn't he? He's the only way. So Jesus acknowledged Jesus Christ, Peter acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. He not only believed, but he confessed the fact that he was. You know, it's one thing to believe, but it's something else to confess. Our preacher has been talking about it on Wednesday night. In Romans, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that Christ, God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved, you see. So it's one thing to believe on Jesus, but it's another thing to confess him. Have you ever confessed him as Lord of your life? Do you know him as your personal Savior? You see, Peter here, as he is believing. So now, secondly, we look at Peter's backsliding. Turn with me in the book of Luke, chapter 22. Peter believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was no doubt a born-again child of God. He loved the Lord, but he was human, just like we are today. We're going to notice here his backsliding. In Luke chapter 22, look at verse number 54, if I can find it here. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. Notice, the Bible says this, then took they him, that is Christ is being arrested here, and he led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed where? Afar off. Peter followed afar off. We see here Peter following the Lord afar off. What is backsliding? What is backsliding? It's turning away. It's turning away. It's turning back on the Lord, okay? Not following him. When we are backslidden, we're out of fellowship with the Lord, aren't we? We're not as close to God as we have been or should have been. You know, we were backsliding. Probably all of us has been through that in our life as a Christian. Backsliding. Backslidden, if you please. It's something that we all have to deal with here. And we here see that Peter he's denying the Lord literally by falling afar off. He'll deny him later on here in the Scriptures. What is backsliding? How do I know if I'm backslidden? How do I know if I'm backsliding? Dr. H.A. Ironside said this, and I quote, "If you were ever closer to the Lord than you are now, you're backslidden. If you ever were closer to God than you are today, you're backslidden." Backsliding is something that is a gradual process. It's a slow thing. Here we find Peter. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? He confessed him as the Son of God. And now we find here he's falling afar off. When Christ is arrested, he's following him afar off. He's backsliding. Now, how did he get this way? Turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. How does a person backslide? Mark chapter 14. Look at verse number 27. Peter was backsliding. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. Let's go back to verse 26. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." But notice 29. "But Peter said unto him," Jesus speaking, "although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Yet will not I, he says. But Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now, what are we seeing here? Verse 31, "But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." They all said the same thing. What was the beginning of his backsliding? We see here in this passage of Scripture that Peter became self-confident. See the word I? We have to realize, folks, that we can't do anything on ourselves, by ourselves. It's only by God's grace that we're even here alive today. We're here alive today. But see here, first of all, the first step to his backsliding was that he became self-confident. We also see that he followed Jesus afar off. Turn back to Luke chapter 22, where we were. Luke 22, verse 54 said he followed Jesus afar off. He was confident. He had confidence in that he could do what he said he could do. But he didn't realize he needed the Lord. I like that verse in John. Jesus says, "But without me, ye can do what? Nothing." How true that is, folks. Without the Lord, we can't do anything. We can't even walk. We can't even talk. We can't do anything without the Lord. So we see here that Peter, he became very self-confident. We find in verse 24 of Luke 22 that he followed Jesus afar off now. He was following him afar off. He was backsliding. He was backslidden, if you please, because he had become self-confident. He followed Jesus for all. We are afraid sometimes to be out and all for Jesus because we might be called a fanatic. You know, but we ought to always stand up for Jesus. Always have a word for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter who we are. And what a blessing it would be to other people. We also see in verse 56 of chapter 22 of Luke, another thing that led Peter to backsliding. Look at verse number 55, first of all. It says, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him," speaking of Jesus. We see the first second thing that led to Peter's backsliding, he was in the wrong company. He was in the wrong place. He was in the wrong company. You know, I'm so glad that we have the Spirit of God in us to reveal to us sometimes when we're in the wrong place, when we're in the wrong company. It's just not right. I don't feel good here. Something is not right here. You know, and thank God we can get up and leave. Amen? We don't have to stay there. But Peter was in the wrong company here. He was in the wrong company here because they identified him as somebody being with Jesus, you know? Somebody being with Jesus, as the lady did here, you see. Peter joined the enemy. He warmed himself by the enemy's fire. You see, he was in the midst of the wrong company. Therefore, he backslid. He began to backslide. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners." How true that is, folks. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You may be the best Christian in the world, but if you get in the wrong place, you're going to be influenced by that evil. You'll be influenced by that evil. We're not that strong. We're not that strong. God is that strong, but we're not. Because we're still in the flesh. And the flesh is weak. So we see another step of backsliding was he was with the wrong company. Wrong company. Now in verse number 57, "And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not." He denied the Lord. That's another step towards backsliding. He denied the Lord here, you see. He denied Christ. "I know him not," he said. "I know him not. I don't know who you're talking about, lady. I know him not." And then we find, as we go down to verse 71, we find there, "And they said, What need we any further wherewith?" That's Mark 14. No. We'll see further on down the road in Mark 14, 71, that Peter cursed and sworn that he was not. He did not know him. He cursed. But notice what happened. We see also some things happen after he did that. Peter made steps towards backsliding, getting away the Lord. It was slow. It was slow. And likewise, if we do that, it's going to happen also. But notice what happened to Peter. Turn over to John chapter 21. He's in this mood, so to speak, this role, so to speak, taking place. He's backsliding. He got self-confident. He followed Jesus far off. He was in the wrong company. He denied Christ. He cursed and swore. All these things took place in his life. We see here now what happened because of that. In John chapter 21, look at verse number 1. John 21, verse number 1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples." Here they are together again. Jesus is with Peter and his disciples here. And notice what happened in verse number 3. Remember, Peter is backslidden here. "Simon Peter said to the disciples, I go fishing." Now, Simon was a what? He was a fisherman. That was his trade, okay? He said, "I'm going to go fishing." Notice what happened. "They say unto him, We also go with thee." You see what happens when you backslide? People are going to follow you rather than follow the Lord. We're not careful. That's what happened to Peter. He got so far, he said, "I'm just going to go fishing. I'm not going to have anything else to do with it." And when he did that, other people followed him. Other people followed him also. See, so we see here, he left the ministry. He says, "I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I know what I can do to get what I need in my life, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing." And so he set out to do this, and these others followed him. The influence here, he influenced six others to leave the ministry at the same time. We never know. our life can influence people in a positive way or a negative way. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. And here we find Peter in a situation. He'd already denied the Lord. You know, he was cold and indifferent. He followed Jesus far off, and all these things took place. He was with the wrong company, and he denied the Lord. He cursed and swore, and all these things. And now here he is, back with the disciples and Jesus, some of the disciples of Jesus. He says, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. And they said, we're going to go with you. Remember, Peter was a spokesman for the whole bunch. They looked up to him. They respected him. And what he did, most of them followed him to do it. And here we find them going in the wrong direction. They're going in the wrong direction, you see. So see, Peter believing. See, Peter backsliding. And then we find Peter beginning anew. How did the Lord bring Peter back? How did the Lord bring Peter back? We see in verse number 4 of John 21, notice what happened. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was him. Now, where are the disciples, and where are the disciples now with Peter? They're fishing, right? They're on the water. They're fishing. They're fishing because that's where Peter said, let's go. So they went with Peter. And now, all that night they fished. Now it's morning. And we find Jesus on the shore here. And verse number 5, then says Jesus to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. Now you think Jesus knew that they had no meat? Sure he did. Sure they did. But they told all night they had no meat. They were hungry, no doubt. And here we find Jesus on the shore, knowing where they were going to wind up at. And therefore, if he's there, he's making himself available. See, we see the master's presence here in verses 4 through 7. Verse 6 says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Cast the net on the right side. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. For multitude of fishes. They just obeyed the Lord. By obeying the Lord, see what happened? The master was present there. We see he was ready. He was ready for them. He was ready for them in verse number 6. And in verse number 7, we see, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and had fish laid thereupon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Now, what is all this telling us? Remember, Peter was backslidden on the Lord. He gathered with his disciples, let's go fishing. They fished all night. They told nothing. Now, the master was preparing for them. He was ready for them on the other side, on the other shore. You see? And we find here that the master's provision, he provided for them, how the Lord involved them. He told them to cast on the other side, the certain side of the boat. They did. And when they did that, we find the Lord invited them to come up on the sea and have some food. But what happened here? We find here that the Lord brought Peter back to where he ought to be. Now, how did he do that? First of all, he made him a failure as far as a fisherman. Remember, he fished all night long. What did he catch? Nothing. Nothing. That was his trade. That's what he liked to do. But Jesus made him a failure at that. You can't catch fish. You know, God made it happen to him. He showed Peter that in God's will, he could succeed only. In God's will, you will succeed, Peter. You know, you tell us the same thing today. When we're in God's will, we will succeed. But when we're not in God's will, we may be a failure. We may be a failure, you see here. So he prepared a breakfast of bread and fish for them. And notice in verse 15, 16, 17, our time is gone, but he asked Peter a very important question. Do you love me? Do you love me? You know, even though Peter denied the Lord, forsake the Lord, he cursed the Lord. Now Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? We see here him recalling Peter's failure. Bringing back his failure to him. And also we see he rekilling Peter. He wanted Peter to know that he still loved him. Aren't you glad that no matter what we do to God, he still loves us? He still loves us. He loves Peter. And God had a way of bringing Peter back to realization that, you know, Peter, you should love me. I love you. You should love me. Folks, if there's anyone we need to love in this world today, it's Jesus Christ. For what he's done for us. He's done so much for us. No matter who we are in our life, we believe we're backslidden to where we are in our life, spiritually speaking, he still loves us. He's always welcome. Like preacher said the other night, talking about Jesus dying on a cross, like this, always welcome people, sinners to him, always welcome saved sinners back to him also, by refreshing us, by helping us with our sins. I'm so glad today to know Peter's sins were forgiven. His sins were forgiven. His fellowship had been restored. And now Peter was ready to go preach. He was ready to go preach. Peter, what apostle, what a disciple he was. We could say a lot about Peter. But I'm so glad that Peter loved Jesus and Jesus loved Peter. Amen? I'm so glad he loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for his life. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, and loving him like he loves us. Greater love hath no man surer than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Lord, help us to learn from Peter. Lord, the man who failed, but yet he arose. He arose. Where we are in our life, we may be going down a bad street, a bad time in our life. But yet, Lord, we know you're willing to forgive and forget if we ask you to, Lord, and raise us up again that we might live for you. Lord, bless your people today. Bless your word now. As we go to the next service, bless our preacher. May all that's done here today bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.